Well, good morning, everybody. I know I'm not the normal Advent person up here. Betsy is at home with Diggs. He's got pneumonia, so we needed somebody there to take care of him. So I guess I'm the next best or next thing. Did I do what? Yeah, that would have been a good plan, wouldn't it? Let's see if I can do this all with three hands. All right, on the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. Hope is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the hope we have in Jesus Christ. On the second Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of peace. Peace is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the peace we find in Jesus Christ. On the third Sunday, we lit the candle of joy. This candle of joy is like a light shining in a dark place. As we look at this candle, we celebrate the joy we find in Jesus Christ. And today, we light the candle of love. Love is hard to find sometimes. There we go. Sometimes it takes a little bit of extra hardness to get some love in there. Love is like a candle shining in a dark place. As we look at the light of this candle, we celebrate the love we have in Christ. And today we also light the candle that represents the light of Christ. This fifth candle represents the birth of Christ. The flame of this candle reminds us that He is the light of the world, and that if we follow Him, we will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the true light of life.
People are traveling at this time, so I was expecting some people to be not here, but that's okay. We're here. Look at somebody and say, you're here. That's right. I'm going to have to do this one again next week. But I did have to read some emails to Santa. They used to kids sent letters. Now they're sending emails. And I read one email where it said, from Brandon to Santa. And it said, sorry, Santa, for the laxative I put in your milk last year. I just didn't know if you were real or not. I was trying to find out, so I made Dad really mad. And also, of course, here's what I'm about to do next week again. Not this one, but I was at PCDC and asked the guy what you in here for, and he said, what you charged with? And he said, for doing my Christmas shopping early, man. That's it. I said, well, how early were you doing? He said, before the store opened. This is one you're going to see again next week. Ready? The four stages of man. Number one, first, he believes in Santa. Secondly, he doesn't believe in Santa. Third, he is Santa. And fourth, he looks like Santa. And he's not here this morning to enjoy this, so I'll do this one again next week. But Brandon, y'all can tell your dad, BJ, you can tell your dad that he was the star of the show today. Amen. Matter of fact, his picture was in the newspaper. Amen. Twice, yeah. His picture was in the newspaper twice, and it was in, what's the other thing where you get locked up? What's that called? The jailbird. Jailbird once and the paper twice. All right. I'm not going to keep you long today, I promise. I was studying about today because everywhere I hear I keep hearing we want to have the perfect Christmas. How many has heard that? How many says that? You know, on television, with the advertisements on the Inspiration Channel, they'll say it's going to be the best. This is an advertising the shows. I think it's the Waltons or Little House on the Prairie. This is going to be the best Christmas ever. And this is the perfect Christmas. And the Hallmark Channel, good Lord, they've been playing Christmas movies nonstop now for about a month or two. And I was talking about having the perfect Christmas. Well, you know what? There's no such thing in our life as perfect. Amen? You're not going to find perfect. Because I guarantee you there's going to be flaws, there's going to be problems, there's going to be things going on. But I happened to look through the scriptures, and I actually found the perfect Christmas. Isn't that cool? Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. Let's look at this. I got it right here. Y'all keep your seats. Amen? So I want you to see this is the perfect Christmas. Really? I mean, ready? Ready, ready with me. But you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, and then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. That is the perfect Christmas. You got to look outside yourself to see the perfect Christmas. You got to look outside your family to see the perfect Christmas. You got to look outside of your job. You got to look outside of everything. Because situations change. There are situations that we don't like. There are situations that we can't do a thing about. There's things on our job we can't do a thing about. There's things, there's pressure, all kinds of stuff. You have to look outside of all of that. And this is how I find my peace in the times of trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to bring forth your word. Lord, in the name of Jesus, bless those, Lord, that want to be here and can't. Lord, bless those that are traveling. Bless them. Bless those that have participated in other things that was necessary. I ask you to touch them right now. Minister to all of them in a very powerful way. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for it. The church said, amen. God's all submitting. Now, how many remember this guy? How many can point one out? Nope, don't point at anybody. Yeah, well, the Grinch, you know, that's one of the most beloved Christmas stories of all times. When it first came out, I think I was in the first grade when it first came out. I'm dating myself. So the Grinch came out before television did, didn't it? Matter of fact, I told somebody the other day, I think I told on Tuesday night, my family, I lived in Pamlico County in Merritt. My family was the first family to have a rotor antenna and remote control. Did you know that? In Merritt, back in the early, late 60s, early 70s, we had remote control, and we a remote control TV. It was a 9-inch black and white TV, and the remote control was we took turns standing up there at night, and Daddy said, now change channel 7, go back to channel 9. Go to 12, now adjust the fine tuning. I go back to channel 9. So that was his remote, and then his rotor antenna was we held the antenna. Okay, y'all that never had to do that, y'all don't understand, but the rest of us. Okay. All right. So now, here we go. I remember watching this movie, this little thing, and it just really struck me because the Grinch took everything. He took every smidget of Christmas. The Bible says he took all the hoo hash. He took all the decorations. He took everything. He even took the little bitty cheese from the mouse. Remember that? He took everything from Christmas away from him. Everything that you could possibly want at Christmas, he took away from him. How many in here have got everything you possibly want for Christmas? Nobody, no hands are going up. How many in here, don't raise your hand, but how many here there's things you want for Christmas that you know you're not going to get? Amen? There's things you really want. And I guarantee you, if I ask you what it was, it's not going to be items. It's going to be things that have to do with you and things that have to do with peace and comfort and understanding. So look, he said, after everything was taken away, they got it that morning with nothing. Everything from Christmas is gone. And he looks and he says this is so amazing to me. Maybe Christmas, the Grinch thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little more. Wow. Gifts and festivities are great, but they're not the real ingredient for a perfect Christmas. Matter of fact, everyone down in Whoville, the tall and the small, were singing without presents at all. Amen? Because they knew. And he said, wait a minute. And that Bible's not the Bible. The thing shows that his heart just went from a little bitty thing to great old big. And he went and carried them all their stuff back because he realized it wasn't stuff. Because every time I get stuff, it wears out, or I'll wear out before I wear it out. Amen? But you know what? Jesus Christ is one size fits all. Amen? So let's go ahead and go. I said I wasn't going to keep you long, and I haven't kept you longer than I intended so far. Okay, so here we go. What we just read from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Ready? The first thing for the perfect Christmas. Watch this. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. The manger was built with sticks of wood, symbolizing his back against the cross. And now, and later on, his back will be against the cross. Watch this. It says he gives his people, the shepherd will give his people. I love this. It's so awesome. Well, for the perfect Christmas, he'll give you strength. It says he will stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. You say, that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is not about Christmas trees, and Christmas is not about who can do what. You know, I even see people in neighborhoods try to outdo each other. They try to outdo each other with Christmas lights, and they try to outdo each other with Christmas presents for their kids. They try to outdo each other with whatever, the festivities. It's not about who's done what. It's not about festivities like that. What it truly is about, watch this. God knew, listen, God knew that we can't do this on our own. Has anybody ever tried to do it on your own? I have. I catch myself constantly doing it on my own. And God says, back up, big boy. You can't do this on your own. You got to have my help. You got to have me. I've got to be there. I got to be the one. If you don't have me, you're not going to be able to get it done. So look, here's what Christmas is all about. You can turn to God for strength, and he will give you, listen, he will give you strength. How many know you cannot handle this life on your own? Every time I think I got a handle on it, it gets harder. Every time I think I figured out the lay of the land, the map changes. Every time I think I got this person figured out and this person figured out, they change. Every time, whatever I think I got figured out, it's not long, I don't have it figured out at all. But you turn to God for strength, and he will give it to you. You see, we got help. How many know we got help? We got help. We got Jesus Christ. He'll give it to you. The Bible tells us, it says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. That word. So, here we go. You ready? The dromedary. Cast all your cares on him. Take your hurts. Take your pains. How many got Mighty Army this morning? You know what Mighty Army said? Wisdom is nothing more than healed pain. Every time I got wisdom, it came at a cost. Every time I got wisdom, it started with pain. And then I learned from the pain. So wisdom is nothing but healed pain. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Watch this. Our weakness, or the weakness of God, is stronger than man's strength. Amen. The kind of strength that Jesus offers, no matter what happens, you can depend on his strength. He'll get you through whatever you got to get through. Our lives can have to be characterized by failure, bitterness, missed opportunities, or things that have changed. Give your strength to face whatever comes your way. Give yourself to God, and God will give you strength to get whatever you got to get through. Number one, watch this. He gives you strength. Don't tell God how big your storms are. Tell your storms how big God is. I learned that. I have people tell me that you know, I get criticized all the time. I get criticized. How many here get criticized? If you say you didn't get criticized, raise your hand, because I'm criticizing you right now. You better raise that hand. Everybody in here will get criticized for something. Amen? And I've been even criticized about times all through the years about how I handle things or how I just put it in God's hands and let God handle it. I remember my uncle one time came up to me, and my uncle said, "You know what? You drive me crazy." And I said, "How do I drive you crazy, Uncle?" He says, "You don't worry about anything." I said, "I've got a lot of things on my mind, Uncle." And he said, "No, you walk around carefree all the time, like you just don't even care." And I said, "Whoa, I do care." He says, "Well, how can you walk around all the time looking like you're looking and acting like you're acting? I said, "It's because I choose to put my problems in the hand of God and let Him handle it, because I can't handle it." You know, I was just telling, I told Brandon, I'm going to tell everybody, somebody one Tuesday night, somebody said, "Can you explain intercession to us? God's intercession." I'm going to do that right now. How many's ever gone to the McDonald's or to a drive-thru window with kids in the car? You had kids in the car or somebody in the car with you, but especially kids. And if they hollered at, they would holler all at one time, and so you couldn't ever get anything ordered. So what you did was you calmed everybody down, and you went in order, and you said, "Now tell me what you want. Tell me what you want." And then you interpret what they're saying, and you pass it to the window, to the speaker. Well, they want a chicken nugget meal, 4-piece. They don't want fries, they want apples, and they want apple juice. All right, the next one, they want a 6-piece chicken nugget meal. They want fries, and they want a Dr. Pepper. And so I'm sitting there hearing what they've got to say. I'm interpreting what they've got to say. And then I, in turn, tell the person inside what they want through that speaker. And then we pull up to the window. What I asked for, I got. Guess what I've become? An intercessor. That's the purest thought for a child of how God intercedes for us. We tell Him what we need. We tell Jesus how it's going, what we need, or we don't even understand what we need. And He goes to the Father and tells Him what it is we need, and He handles it for us. Amen? So first, God gives you strength. This is what Christmas is all about. It's not about the bells and the whistles. It's not about the cars and the trains. And look, it means I'm not alone. And watch this. I refuse to be a victim of circumstance in my life. I know people that love to play victim of their circumstances. I can't stand it. It makes me so upset when somebody wants to play the victim card, because I'm not a victim of my circumstance. I got victory over my circumstance through Jesus Christ. Amen? So look, you have a shepherd, and you can live in the shepherd's strength. Amen? Look, it's so awesome. You know, I know that many of you are facing challenges right now that are bigger than you are. How many here would say, "I'm facing something bigger than me"? Amen? You know, you're in a battle. You don't have the strength to win on your own. Let me tell you what you do. Maybe especially on Christmas Eve, you don't have to do this alone. You've got God with you. I'm almost through. I've only given us one present. Amen. Look at that. Ain't it sweet? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. Isn't that cool? Next, according to Scripture, this prophecy, He gives you security. It says, "And they, His flock, shall live secure. For now He shall be great to the ends of the earth," or for eternity. Amen. How many know we live in an insecure world? Every time I turn around, there's something else happening. You know, that Amtrak that got wrecked, that wasn't a terrorist attack. They said that he was distracted. You know, I sit there all the time and watch people distracted on the road, and they're driving all over the place because they're busy texting, or they're busy doing something else, or they're having a conversation with the person in the car with them, and they're watching the person. You know, who was it that came? I'm trying to think of his name right now. Good Lord, I can't even think of his name. Somebody help me. The guy from Chocolatey, that sang "I'm a King's Kid." Help me out. He's got Laverne Tripp. It sounds like a girl. Laverne Tripp. I was riding with Laverne Tripp to the church on Saturday to fix up the stuff in here for his sound system. The man was talking to me, and I kid you not, he drove on the 55, he drove 35, 50, 20, 45, 50, 30. He went over here, he went over here. I couldn't talk to him. I was so nervous. And he said, "Loosen up, brother." And I'm thinking, yeah. He said, "It's okay. Just talk to me like regular people." I'm thinking, well, how about you drive like regular people? Somebody from the church was behind us and said, their grandchild said, "Meemaw, is that person drunk? Do we need to call the law?" No, it was just, he weren't paying attention to what he was doing. When we finally got here, I got out of the car. And, I literally got out of the car and kissed the ground. Thank God. So watch. He gives you security. You don't have to worry about this. I'm telling you, you know, it's amazing to me how one simple word can change your whole day. One simple motion can change your whole day. One simple thing can just change everything. You see, Jesus offers security because he knows he's got us. I love the scripture right here too. It says, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak." So security. Amen? So look, he made this promise to us, and I love this promise. I think about, I love this. The tomb, listen, y'all, this is awesome. The tomb was empty, the greatest security breach of all time. The tomb was empty, the greatest security breach of all times. Yet that event gives us lasting security to all of God's people. Amen? So he made his promise, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands." You see, he offers a kind of security the world cannot offer. And I'm sorry they all popped up, but I actually finished this at 2 o'clock this morning. Amen. So I was kind of going. I love that little bird that you put in the window with a little cup. All right. Secure is not based on things and circumstances. They're based on his greatness and never-ending love for you. There is no place you can go. There's nothing that can happen that extends beyond the power of God to take care of you. Amen. And here we go. Now we're closing. Okay, get ready. One more. Here it is. I love this. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Amen. Remember, peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is not the absence of problems. Peace comes from his presence in the middle of our problems. So here we go. Here it goes. It gives you serenity. How many could use some serenity? Amen. Every day of my life, I say, especially if I get on the highway, "Lord, give me some peace." Praise the Lord. You know, I just got hit in the back on a Friday. A couple weeks later on a Friday, I'm in the same spot where I just got hit, and I was turning in. Instead of coming out, this time I was turning in, and I was turning in, and here's the bank, and here's the parking lot for the theater, and I pulled in, and a guy in a great big SUV. I saw it out the corner of my eye, and Bethany said, "Watch out, Dad. There's a stop sign right there." I had the right of way, and I'm getting ready to go, and I see this guy coming, and he's not going. I'm talking about he had to be going 45 or 50 in that parking lot. And I saw him, and I slammed on brakes. I threw everything that was in the seat in the floor. I slammed so hard on brakes. He flew by me. He almost hit me, and he would have hit me right in the side. And so, I tooted my horn. He looked the other way and just kept on going. And I thought about that. And then not long after that, I tried to pull out. And as I'm trying to pull back out, the person behind me slows down. And the other guy pulls in, and they try to crunch me. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm already having a hard time because I just got hit, and now I'm trying to get hit again two or three times. I'm not trying, but it's happening. But you know, I said, Lord, you know what? I got to rest in your peace, because if I don't rest in your peace, I will lose my mind. You know, when I almost got killed out here that day, and the other guys did get killed, and the other ones got put in the hospital with their back, all that stuff, and all those cars tore up. For weeks, every time I got in my car, if I saw somebody crossing the line, it just tore my nerves up. I said, God, you got to give me peace. God, you got to give me serenity. And then God gave Bethany her permit. And I said, God, you have such a sense of humor. Because Bethany would not stay in the lines. And I said, Bethany, girl, you're going to have to change now. You got to stay in the lines, girl. But you know, again, God gives us serenity. Amen. He will get in peace. Listen, this is not a peaceful world. You know, just yesterday I read an article somewhere up in Philadelphia. A family put a manger scene out in front of their house in their neighborhood and put a big old sign saying Jesus with lights around it. And one of the neighbors got offended and talked to the housing association. The housing association came to them and said, you have to take that sign down. It says part of a Christmas decoration. Jesus, this is Christmas. And they said, you're breaking the rules. What it was they had offended somebody and they wanted them down, so they tried to find a way. And they said, we haven't done anything to offend anybody. It's about Jesus Christmas. And they said, take it down. Couldn't even put Jesus in their own neighborhood up on a sign. Just his name. In the United States. You know, I walked into Walmart the other night, and I was trying to find a manger scene, and I haven't found a manger scene yet in Walmart. Looking for a manger scene. And so I walked over to the Walmart lady. I said, well, do y'all have any manger scenes? She says, no. And I talked to one of the managers. Said, you sure y'all ain't got any manger scenes? She said, nope, ain't seen one. And so they're sitting there talking to him. I said, how would you like to have a birthday party that had dignitaries and everybody invited, and they were going to throw one of these big shindigs for your birthday, but they didn't invite you? How would you like that? They said, we would hate that. I said, well, when you don't have a manger scene at Christmas, and you don't have Jesus is taken out of it, and it's all about Santa Claus and all this other stuff. And I'm not a religious person. I just want to see Jesus. I believe in salvation, not religion. But I told him, I said, he's having a birthday, and y'all aren't inviting him to the party. I don't want to do that. Amen? Okay. So here we go. Here we go. I'm trying to hurry up. Y'all looking like y'all ready to go, and I am too. Ready? Amen. Jesus didn't come to bring, Jesus came to bring peace to all who follow him. So Micah says this. So here we go. Come on. Come on, baby. Come on. Now, that's not my fault. It's the battery's fault. All right? Look. Here we go. Come on. Come on. I'm going to go and get it on. There you go. How about that? There you go. Y'all read that, and I'll go to the next one. Then when you're through reading, I'm playing. Jesus' birth was announced by the angels who said, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men. Jesus was approaching, when he was approaching death, he said to his disciples, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. When he came in the world, they said peace. When he was going out of the world, he said, I'm giving you peace. Jesus came to give us peace. Even if we're not experiencing peace in the world around us, his peace is present. So watch this. I love this. The Gospel of Micah. Amen. You see, Jesus came into the world not to take away all the things that destroy our peace. Did you know that? He didn't come to take the stuff away. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to lift your anxiety. He wants to take away your sins. The things that tend to make your life miserable are the very things Jesus came to take care of. That's what he wants to do. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants to give us peace. And so here we go. Get ready. This is it. This is the last slide, I promise. There's something written on it anyway. Ready? It's something to admit we can't take care of ourselves, isn't it? I go to nursing homes, and I see people in nursing homes. I see people that once, you know, I was telling you, I went to where Carolyn's at. And while I was in there where Carolyn was at, I was in there playing and singing. And I was sitting there, and I won't get into all the who people were, but there was people I'd pastored all in there. And people I'd known all my life, but a lot of my life, were in there. And I had somebody, honestly, had been a spiritual giant to me. And I had learned so much from this person, so much. And I'd stood with this person. That person stood with me. It's amazing how much we had done together and how much we accomplished for God through his presence, God's presence. And that person sat across the table from me. And the songs that we used to sing, he couldn't remember the words. And then he looked at me and looked at the drink machine and said, "Hey, boss man." He didn't know who I was. He said, "Hey, boss man, is my credit good here?" And I said, "Your credit's good with me anytime, any place, anywhere." He said, "I sure would like a Pepsi." So I reached in my pocket, got the money, went to the machine, got him a Pepsi, and brought it back to him. He said, "Thanks," and walked out. You see, there's things that can destroy your peace. I walked out. I weren't defeated at all because I understood that weren't him. But my heart hurt and ached because that spiritual giant, the one that we had stood foot to foot, side by side, back to back, and battled many, many times, didn't even know who I was. Didn't know the songs, and just wanted me to buy him a drink. There's a lot of things that can destroy our peace. But you know what? And it's hard to face the fact that our worlds are so fragile and so insecure. Do you know all it takes is one chemical imbalance in your body and all of a sudden you're a changed person? One chemical imbalance today, right now, just one small chemical imbalance and some of us wouldn't even make it out of sanctuary. That's how fragile our life is. We can get on a highway and a tire blow or somebody else's tire blow and we run into each other and we're gone. That's how fragile life is. I had a friend lived across the street from me in Williamston. Good friend of mine. And I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and I saw his wife a few weeks ago at the hospital with her mother. And I said, "Well, how's your mother doing?" She said, "She's doing okay." And I said, "Well, how's your family doing?" She says, "I'm doing better now." And I said, "Better? Were you in the hospital too?" She said, "No." She says, "Your buddy was going to sell his bike. And he went out on the highway, right where I lived, Weaver Drive. He said, he just went down to the end of Weaver Drive, goosed that big bike. And she said, I saw him go out this way. And I turned around to walk in the backyard. And she said, I heard something crazy. And she said, I turned around, the bike had thrown him on the highway, and he died on impact." He's my age. Life is fragile. But you can't live in fear. That's what Jesus came for. He came. It's impossible for us to create peace. We can't. And if you think you can create peace, it's only nothing but an illusion. There's two things that are illusion. That you can bring peace and that you have control. We don't have control and we don't have peace without Jesus Christ. Amen? Say, but there was a child born. There was a child born in the manger. And now it's not just that day that has meaning, but now it has meaning in our lives also. You know, I sent a little text to the gray children this morning. And that text, I know they wouldn't mind me telling you this because it's nothing real personal. It's just this. I said, I know this time of year is very sad for you, especially now you've lost your mom and your dad. I said, but instead of being, just change your focus. Instead of being sad because your mom and dad are gone, rejoice that now they are together once again, and they're not worshiping at the foot of a manger. They're worshiping now in the arms of the Savior. Wow. And before I could hardly send it, one of them had already sent it back and said, "Thank you, sir." Peace without God is false peace. Control of anything without Jesus is false control. Amen? So now, here it is. Listen, this child, gave us an incredible gift. That's a gift of strength, security, and peace. All the circumstances of this day, everything that's happening to us, God's got it. Amen? So now, watch this. DCBJ, I'll come up here, but here's what we're going to do. But before y'all start playing, we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus. It's his birthday party. One little kid, I think of DC, asked me one time, said, how come, DC asked me, Chris says, how come we getting all the gifts? He said, it's Jesus' birthday. Also, we were riding home from Benson one time, and they said, when are we going to be there, Dad? Daniel said, when are we going to be there? And I said, we're going to get there. And then DC said, when are we going to be there? I said, we're going to get there eventually. Just hold on. It was an hour and a half trip. Finally, their mama said, it'll be okay. It'll just be a little bit longer. And then DC said, yeah, like one of Dad's sermons. Y'all stand up. We're going to sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, and then we're going to have all. Happy birthday? Okay, you go ahead. Ready? Here we go. Y'all ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. I can't wait to live with you too. Awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap for praise. All right, now you can play something. Play whatever you want to play. I want everybody that will just come and spend a few moments in the altar. This is one of the most hectic times of year. I went to Walmart last night. I weren't thinking. I went to Walmart, and while we're in line, two ladies started fighting behind us over whose place was in line. Fighting over whose place was in line, who jumped who. And all I could think of was, God, get me out of this place before it gets any crazier. Jesus, I have nothing to give you that you don't already have. All you got to do is speak the word and it's done. So God, I'm going to tell you what I'm giving you. I'm giving you me. You got me, Lord. I got nothing to give you but me. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Lord, and bless each person that's here. It's Christmas Eve, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You got this. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint. I ask you to touch and anoint in the name of Jesus. Minister mightily. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch Diggs too, Lord, with this pneumonia. I ask you, Lord, to touch, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord. You know what to do. You got it covered. Lord, we don't have to worry about it. You got this. You got it. You got this. In the name of Jesus, you've got it. Lord, I love you. And I praise your name. And I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you, God, for all that you do for us. I thank you, God, that we're not walking alone. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. Praise the Lamb of God. It gives us strength. Thank you, God, for strength. Thank you for security. Thank you for serenity. I ain't got to worry. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I thank you for strength, security, and serenity. I thank you, God. I thank you, Father. You got this. You've got this. You've got this. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Everybody stand.
A couple of months ago, I was in Pamlico Memorial Gardens and I'd done a funeral, and I was reminded that my grandmama and my granddaddy were buried there. And I'd only been, she'd been dead since I was 17, and he'd been dead since I was 30. And it hit me, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I'd only been to their grave probably two times. I'm 58. It's 57 at the time. And so I got in a panic. I was with Bethany. I said, we got to find their graves. I can't remember. I'm ashamed of myself because I haven't visited their grave. I found their graves, and I stood there, and I saw some mess on it, and I cleaned the mess off of the graves, and I made sure I went and got flowers and put flowers on their grave, and I said, there, Lord, I feel better now. He said, do you? He said, they're not here. They're risen. Lord was training me. Why are you fretting over something you can do nothing about? Rejoice that something better is coming. And I started rejoicing. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I was apologizing to my granddaddy, apologizing to my grandmama. I was down there. I mean, I was all thinking, God, don't strike me dead with lightning right now. And the Lord said, you're making a whole big mess over something that nobody's even worried about. They could care less. They're in heaven. They want you to be there with them, not there at the graveside. Be in heaven with them. I said, well, I plan on being there with them. He said, okay, then, stop it. Quit making fret over a mess that you can't do a thing about. Leave it alone and just do what you know you got to do. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God awesome? Happy birthday, Jesus. Brother Wayne, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?